This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which is kindly sponsored by the Sky Blue Tavern. Wardy here to guide you through this evening and pleased to be joined by Dave. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, absolutely pleased to be here and really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, so am I. Our special guest this evening started his career at the Sky Blues age 7. Rose up through the ranks, making his first team debut in 2017. He went on to make 130 appearances for the Sky Blues and was a key part of the club's rise up the leagues, scoring some brilliant goals along the way, including the League Two playoff final. And of course, talking about Jordan Shipley. Evening, Shippers. Thanks for coming on the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Yeah, cheers for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's really good to have you on. We've been looking forward to this for a while. So I suppose, first of all, you know, your season's obviously finished a couple of weeks ago. How have you been sort of relaxing since the end of the season?
It's been all right. I've been doing the stuff I don't normally do, like take the kids to school and, you know, chill out, help the missus clean the house and that. It's a bit different, but you know, yeah, it's been good. Obviously been to the games and that as well, and you know, enjoying some golf time as well. So it's been really good.
Nice. Obviously, just to let listeners know, we're recording this 2 days after the Borough win, so we don't know the outcome of the playoff final yet. But you know, we can't not really talk about it. I know you were at the game, Shippers, the other night. Obviously, a few videos of you starting songs and stuff. yeah, what was that like? You know, coming as a fan, it must be a nice experience for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a different experience. Obviously, I've been to a few games this season anyway, but they've been like Tuesday night games and. I've been sat like with like the family and friends and stuff. I haven't really been involved with the fans, and so yeah, it was nice to go. I went to the game Sunday. We sat in the north stand behind the goal, which was pretty good, you know. And obviously the game against Middlesbrough was crazy, and you know, it was a great experience to be there. To be honest, yeah. Really good.
Yeah, and you must be impressed with, you know, what's going on at the Sky Blues. And obviously, you know, you're a fan yourself and have been, you know, all your life. How pleasing has it been for you to sort of see how the club's been progressing?
Yeah, no, it's great. Obviously, you know, coming from the League One relegation to then League Two and then all the way back up. I mean, the club is at where it should be, and it definitely can go that one more step to get back where they should be now. In the Premier League, and you know, hopefully the boys can do it.
Fingers crossed. We never know. People might be listening to this and we might be there, hopefully. We don't know.
Oh, I'll be there.
Obviously a bit of news as well with the Robin's new contract as well for another 4 years, which was obviously amazing news. He's obviously done a brilliant job, and you've obviously, you know, worked under him for a number of years. You must think very highly of him. Do you stay in touch with him? Are you close with Mark Robbins?
I don't really stay in touch with him, but I mean, when I see him, we always have a chat and stuff. And you know, he was the one who brought me into the first team, who gave me my chance, and I'll always be forever grateful for that. And yeah, I mean, he's done a fantastic job, and you know, he deserves a new contract. And hopefully, you know, they can kick on and get to the Premier League, and you know, hopefully stay in the Premier League. But you know, all the staff there are fantastic as well. You know, AD, Marshy, Kitman, you got Dennis as well. He's a top coach, and yeah, they're all great. And so it really works for them, and hopefully it can carry on.
Yeah, we've had a few players and ex-players on, and we always ask about Robbins. And actually, it's interesting. People always mention the wider staff, like especially AD. We had Marshy on as well. He was brilliant. He was such a good laugh.
Yeah,
so it seems like there's a really good group there, and obviously the players really, you know, really get on well with them, which is nice to hear.
Yeah.
Obviously, your first season at Shrewsbury, I know you played a lot of games this season, which we as fans have obviously been really pleased to see. How would you sort of assess your season at Shrewsbury? How's it been going for you?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Obviously, it's been different being the new face at a club. But the boys, they took me in great. They were a great bunch of lads. A really good dressing room. And yeah, you know, we started off the season fairly well. Then we picked up, and we went on a run, like seven games undefeated. We won seven games in a row, and you know, we were near the playoffs, and everyone was thinking, "Oh, here we go. This could be it." And then, obviously, we hit a bump in the road. We had injuries along the way. We got a small squad as it was, so it was difficult towards the end. But I mean, personally, I played 50 games, 48 starts, two sub appearances, and that was, you know, the main reason why I wanted to go. I wanted to play football, and you know, I'm thankful for the club for giving me the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to hear about some of the current stuff, you know, that you're doing at Shrewsbury. Brilliant to hear about, you know, still keeping up with Mark Robbins. With a lot of the podcasts that we do with the players, we like to try and take our listeners on a journey of your footballing career. And that all starts, obviously, you know, from your background and your upbringing around football. What was your sort of earliest football memories, and how did you get interested in football, sort of watching and playing?
I've always played football, even if that's in the garden, you know, kicking the ball against the fence and my dad yelling at me, saying, don't kick that ball. I've always been doing that sort of stuff. So I got into a team when I was younger, and then it kind of went from there. My dad and granddad came on the journey with me, and you know, ever since I could walk, I was kicking a ball. I played Saturday Sunday league when I was younger. I played on the Saturday for a local team called Tasmanian Cruisers Juniors, because there was two at the time. There was juniors and what was the other one? Cruisers? I don't know. Anyway, there was another team, so there was two of us. And then I played on the Sunday for Leamington Hibs.
Yeah.
But both age groups were the year above me, so I never played for my age. I played with year above. And that's kind of where I started falling in love. You know, everyone, I used to be a striker, believe it or not. You know, I one season I scored 72 goals in one season, and it was like, that's when I started to fall in. I just wanted to play football all the time, and you know, tournaments and all that. I loved it. Even at Cobb, I still played in tournaments, like when I was younger. So yeah, you're not meant to when you're in the academy, you're not meant to play in tournaments, but I still did. And yeah, I just loved playing, really.
Yeah, brilliant. No, and that we hear that a lot, you know, on the podcast around. It's just that hunger to be playing every minute you can. You know, you're out the door. You still got your dinner. You're chewing it, and you're running into the back garden, and still, you know, chewing your mouth and playing football. But yeah, we hear that all the time, and it's really interesting around that academy stuff that it's difficult because you can get taken away from the friends and that you play with, and then, you know, it's sort of the school football and some of that, and you sort of you want to still play with your peers, right, and continue.
Yeah, well, I mean, the academy football is great because, you know, you're playing against lads similar ability and, you know, it's competitive, but like you're missing out on the other stuff, you know, the prizes, the trophies and, you know, with your friends that you could win. And, you know, everyone's talking about doing that. And then you're, you know, playing, but then again, you're playing against us. I used to play against Villa. I used to play against Callum O'Hare all the time. And it was like, on one hand, it was gutting that you're missing out on that. But then on the other hand, you know, you're making a pathway for yourself later on in life. And, you know, it was kind of the way that it went. And, you know, luckily for me now, I'm thankful, you know, that I got given the chance to go. And, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world.
I think there's a lot that's not talked about around the commitment from both players and the surrounding family that they have to do, you know, around what it is to become, you know, a professional footballer, really, especially in this day and age now. There's a lot of commitment, isn't there, on those sides to be able to leave school and get off to training, and it's a couple of times a week. And like you say, your weekends, it is a lot of commitment.
Yeah, no, I mean, my dad used to take me all the time when I was younger. He'd come home from work late nights, and I'd be training, say, 7 till 9 some nights. And, you know, he'd be coming through the door at 6 o'clock, quick shower, get changed, off we go. And, you know, it would just be like, even on, so we used to play on Sundays when we were younger, and he'd be working Saturday nights, and he'd come back Sunday morning, say, 6 o'clock in the morning, or whatever, and he'd quickly have a shower and then drive me all the way over to Cardiff to play in a game there, and because obviously he wanted to go watch. So it's an unbelievable like commitment from his part and from my whole family as well. You know, I didn't start driving until I was 2 years ago, so I was 23. So yeah. my granddad retired, and he used to take me to, you know, Wrighton for the past since I got my pro contract. So that was a massive commitment on his part as well, because, you know, he had to, everyone would be like, oh, can I have a lift? Can I have a lift? And he'd be like, no, I've got to take Jordan's football. Got to look after Jordan first. And, you know, I can't thank them enough for what they've done for me.
Yeah, incredible. Growing up, we often hear a lot of people model themselves on different players. It was interesting to hear that you obviously started off as a striker. So I'm sure you had a few heroes growing up. But yeah, who were they and who did you maybe model yourself up on?
The funny thing is, I was a striker, but I didn't really model myself on a striker. I kind of modeled myself on Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
Because that was the kind of player that I wanted to like become, I'd say. Obviously, when you're younger, you just wanted to score goals and, you know, run around and celebrate and whatever. But later on, obviously, I wanted to play in the midfield, and I wanted to be that box-to-box player. And really, I mean, he kind of stood out for me massively with his leadership and his qualities that he has. So, yeah, I think Gerrard was the big role model for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we obviously know that you're a Sky Blue supporter. You talked about the game the other day. What was your first memory of Sky Blues and Coventry games?
When I was in the academy, you know, we got some, obviously we used to get free tickets, and I used to go all the time with my dad, with my granddad, and then with my uncle Ian as well. He used to take me over when my dad obviously couldn't. And, you know, I just remember watching them games with, we had Doyle in the team at the time, and, you know, later on I went to play with him, which was crazy. But yeah, obviously going to I never got to go to Highfield Road, but you know, to go there to the, it was the Rico at the time, obviously the CBS now. It was just like your mind, like you just think, wow, like I'd do anything to play here. I'd do anything to be on that pitch with them. And yeah, it was just great, really. It's great to watch them and kind of them be your role models as well.
Yeah, really absolutely. Good. I'm not going to share my favourite Cov player growing up, because it will just show my age and everyone will understand how old I am. So I'm going to ask you instead, your favourite Cov player growing up. Did you have anyone that you watched week in, week out that you were like, yeah, that's...
I did like Michael Dorr, just the way he was around the pitch. And for me, that was kind of my first insight to watching Cov play, being there. But then I liked McSheffrey as well. I thought he was a really good player. And then even push it. I like Misford.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good when he was at Cov. So yeah, them three players really stood out for me.
I'm sure those three players would be in a lot of people's choices. Yeah. So yeah, good picks.
Obviously, you talked a lot about the academy. You were obviously seven when that, you signed there. Like, do you remember that happening? Like, how does that sort of happen as a kid? You're obviously very, very young. Do you remember like the conversations about it, and what do you remember from it?
It was kind of all started. I was playing for Lem Hibs in a tournament. I was playing a year above, and I was scoring goals, and I was just having fun really. And there was a scout watching for my age group. He was watching the games and that, and then luckily a parent kind of said that I was playing a year above to go have a watch, and he was like, "Oh no, I'm looking for this age," and he was like, "No, he's this age, but he's playing over there." And so then he came over and he watched, and I scored a few goals and we won the tournament. And then he came over to me and he asked me where my mum and dad were. And I was like, I was only six at the time. I was like, "Oh, over there somewhere." Like, and then he went over, talked to him and that. And then my mum and dad called me. I thought, "What have I done here? I've done something wrong." And then, he just basically said, do you want to come for a trial? At Coventry City, and I was like, "Yes, like definitely." So dad was like, "Well, there you go, that's the answer," and we kind of just went from there. But the funny story was, I turned up a day early, so I went to on the wrong day, and the year above were playing against Northampton. In like just a friendly, and it was like Madders, Kelly Evans, Dion Kelly Evans, Ben Stevens, all them boys, and I ended up playing with them. I did well, and I think I scored a few goals. And then the next training session, the next day, Steve Grizovic came up to me, Oggy, and he was like, "Do you want to sign for Cov?" And I was like, "Oh, you're gonna have to ask my dad, because he's the one who drives me, so I'm not sure." Like, and then he was like, he went over to my dad, and my dad was like, yeah, like, if you have to ask him, but if that's what he wants." And he said, "Oh no, he told me to ask you." But then I just signed that day, so it was kind of really just a one day sign straight away, and I never looked back after that.
That's amazing. And obviously you mentioned players like Madders there. There's obviously clearly some really good players come out of the Cov Academy, Wilson, Madders, etc. In terms of your age group and the players you were sort of in and around, who were the sort of standouts for you? Who were the ones you looked at and thought, they're really going to make it?
With my age group, I think there's still a few in the Football League now. I think Basala at that time, Basala's at Crewe, I think.
Yeah.
And Corey Adair, when we got our scholarship, Corey's at Crawley. He's playing now and he's doing well. And obviously, there's still a few lads like Callum Maycock. He's playing in Solihull. And obviously, some are not really playing as much anymore. But it was kind of it was a good group. It was we had some good times. I think for us, the main group were the year above us, because the year above us excelled massively with Madders, Stevenson, the two Kelly Evans, Ian Harris, George Thomas. I mean, they had a great group, and I think they were probably the best players that I played with. I played with them most weeks as well. It was really good.
And a lot of players talk about big influences on them when they were younger, coaches and different individuals that were around them. Was there anyone in particular that was sort of really key to your development and sort of influenced you when you were younger?
I mean, for me, when I joined the academy, it was obviously you had Oggy and stuff there, and but then Richard Stevens came in, and he was massive for my academy career coming through, kind of took me under his wing and really looked after me. And you know, it taught me a lot, really. And I'll always be forever grateful for him as well, because, you know, I went through obviously some tough stages in the academy where he had injuries and stuff like that. And, you know, he reassured me that I'll be all right, and I'll get back and I'll get playing, and I'll be in the first team someday. And, you know, looking back on it, he had a really big part in my journey towards that. You know, I still keep in touch with him now as well. I think he's still at West Brom as the head of the academy there. He had a massive influence. But then also you have I had Andy Crabtree, Jason Farndon, Luke Tisdale, all them guys as well coming through, and you know, they all had a big part of my journey. And it was great to get knowledge from them, and, you know, to be where I am now.
Yeah, and you mentioned about breaking through into the first team. That came in the League Two season. The club were obviously at a bit of a low position. It had been through a lot of turmoil, I guess we could say. But for you personally, it must have been really pleasing.
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit unexpected. It wasn't like I was going into that season being you're going to play. It was kind of like a fresh slate, you know, League Two. We went into it and it was kind of like just try and impress, really. Obviously we did our trips to Spain like what we usually do, and you know, we worked really hard over that summer. And then obviously coming in, it was like a free hit, really, for us young lads, and you know, for the players that were there. And it was kind of, you know, towards the start, just after a couple of games in, and there was a few injuries or, you know, whatever. And then I kind of just got and sneaked on the bench a little bit, and then kind of got my chance, you know, after that. It was really good.
And I think it's fair to say you announced yourself, you know, to the Sky Blue Army before that, but there was a worldy free kick at Luton that we can't not talk about.
Yeah. That was a great day. I mean, I didn't expect going into that game that, you know, something like that would happen. To get that goal, it was credible. It was kind of like, I remember it all happening, and, you know, he went down, he got sent off, and then Duckins Nazon wanted to take the free kick, and I was kind of like walked away thinking, all right. And then it was the gaffer shouted over, and he's like, Shippers, you take it. And Duckins was looking at me like, oh. So I didn't have time to think. It was just kind of step up to the ball and hit it. And yeah, maybe I should do that more often, to be honest. But yeah, it was a great strike. And, you know, that was probably one of the best away days that we had that season as well. So yeah, it was great.
Yeah, there was also, you know, we beat Cheltenham 6-1 to secure playoffs. That must have been a highlight, obviously, for the season. It was all building towards that point, but that must have been a really, really great day.
Yeah, it was very weird. We were going into the half time. Was it like four? Was it 4-0? 3-0? 4-0?
4-0, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of like a weird. It was kind of like it felt like the game was over already, but we still had the second half to play, and it was kind of like we got brought back down to, you know, earth at half time, and it was kind of carry on from there. But there's some of the lads that played in that Cheltenham team who play in Shrewsbury now with me. And obviously they were like, yeah, it's probably one of the worst days in their career and all that, because of the 6-1 defeat, you know, Max scoring a red kick, and it was like, they were like, what's going on here? But yeah, no, that was a great day, and you know, that kind of really sealed it for us to get in that playoff spot, really.
And those sort of days for the Sky Blues started to keep coming, really. And we talked about Max Biamu, an overhead kick, and then we had the playoffs. Notts County away, another huge highlight. And yeah, Max come up with some goods that night as well.
Yeah, I mean, Max, I mean, what a player. What a player he was. He still is now, but he really came on that season himself. And, you know, he was a massive part for us winning that playoff final as well. So, he's a great guy. I mean, I'm sure all the fans love him because of just who he is. You know, he's got time for everyone, and he played a massive part that season with Sparky McNulty as well, and you know, the whole team. It was kind of like we kind of get to the playoffs, and then you know it'll kind of take its course from there. And it, you know, felt like in that at the second leg, you know, once we scored the two goals, it was like, yeah, we've won this here. And you know, and we'll see Exeter in the final. But yeah, it was good.
How did it feel like going to Notts County? Was that we spoke to Doyle, and he said that, you know, once he turned the corner in that coach and all of the flares and the arrival, he never sort of felt in doubt weirdly that it was gonna, you know, there was some momentum, I think, with Coventry that night. Did you feel at any point that obviously it's a tough game, but and we're going away, but did you feel that it was ours to sort of lose, I guess?
I feel like obviously I was still young then, so I was as nervous as anything, and you know, it was a massive game for the club and for myself, and it was like them. I knew about the fans setting the flares off before, because it was kind of like a pre-match strategy that they were going to do, and you know, it gave all the boys a buzz because most of them didn't know, and it was like belly out, like it was amazing. And then obviously when the game went on, you know, we went 2-0 up, and we had a few scary moments, didn't we? There was an offside goal or whatever it was, and yeah, everyone was a bit ooh. But yeah, I mean, after that, it was the last 15-20 minutes were just great, and the fans that day were amazing. They sung their hearts out, and it just pushed us that little bit more to, you know, get there. And it was probably that's probably the best away day I've ever had. And the celebrations at the end were great as well.
Yeah. And that took us, of course, on to Wembley for the final. We heard about, again, Doyle telling everyone to drink water. What do you remember from the build-up for that game? And like, if you were nervous for Notts County, then I'm sure you were just as nervous for this one.
Yeah, I was rooming with Tom Bayliss at the time, and you know, we were nervous wrecks, two young lads freaking out playing at Wembley, and it was like, oh, and obviously Doyle saying, you know, drink water, get all the water down you. But as a young lad, you don't really think about that. So obviously you were drinking water, but you probably didn't drink as much as you should have. And we got to the game, and I mean, that was just like the heat down in the pitch was incredible. And obviously I suffer with cramp a lot. So I was like, oh no, I'm in big trouble here. But yeah, I mean, the way Doyle was, he's such a good leader for the team that we had at that time. And, you know, he was a massive, massive part of why we got promoted, because I remember him being out for a few games and then coming back, and it was like a big, big boost for us. So you know, he was that leader to push us over the line. And obviously that game, we went in at half-time 0-0, and you know, everyone was a little bit nervy, but then Gaffer was like, look, stay calm, we score a goal, we'll get another one. And that was it, really. And Willis hit that strike, and I mean, off, he hasn't hit a better ball than that in his whole career, I'm telling you. He hit it, and as soon as he hit it, because I was near enough behind it, and I was like, yeah, it's it. And then obviously, you know, my goal was pretty good as well. It took a big deflection, but yeah, I'd take that any day. And then Grimmer's goal was phenomenal in his weak foot as well. And that's when you knew, yeah, this is our day, this is it. And yeah, I mean, it was a great day out.
That's the amazing thing, I think, about these podcasts. There'll be lots of people listening, a complete range of ages, and they would all have had the dream that you've actually made a reality, which is scoring in front of 40,000 Sky Blues fans at Wembley. Like, it doesn't really get much more magical than that. Just talk us through a little bit about that and how that made you feel, you know, both, you know, maybe drew in, I know you probably just lost your mind, but also after, when the reality set in of like, what, you know, that feat, like how you'd achieved that.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember the ball going down the line, and I was just screaming for it from off Sparky, and I just kept screaming for it. And then luckily, he just rolled it to me, and it fell perfectly. But as a defender was coming out, I've hit it. It's hit him, but I've gambled over the defender. So I haven't seen the ball go in the back of the net. All I heard was the roar. And so that's when I got up, looked, seen it in, and I was just like, oh, like, what has happened? I've scored at Wembley for Carl in front of 45,000 fans. And I just completely lost my head. And then I did a knee slide and I got cramped doing the knee slide. And I was like, oh, no, this ain't good. But yeah, it was completely mental, mental feeling. It's probably the best thing I've ever had. And it was just so surreal in that moment. You know, the adrenaline's pumping, everything, and you just, I don't know, it's hard to put into words how you feel at that time unless you actually like feel that moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was a great moment for me and a great moment for my family as well, because my missus and kids were there as well. Kid at the time, I got kids, but yeah, they were there as well. And it was great. I know my granddad was there as well, actually. He was in where I did the knee side. He was in the middle section right in front of it. And yeah, that was probably, you know, the best place to do a knee slide, to be honest.
That's amazing. And imagine some big celebrations afterwards.
Oh yeah, there was some big stuff. I had a migraine though, so it was the worst time to get a migraine. It was on the way back. We went to Fizzy Moon in town in Leamington. It was kind of like I got in there and I was like, oh, I don't feel well. I was like, I got this pain in the back of my eye. And I was thinking, oh no, please don't be a migraine, please don't be a migraine. I said to Pauline at the time, she was the physio, I said, Pauline, you got any paracetamol? And she was like, oh yeah, yeah, I got some. So I took them, but then it still wasn't going. So I actually went home. I went home and slept. I slept for an hour. I woke up and it was like 11:30, 12 o'clock. And I was like, all the boys were over in Casbah in Cobb.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll make up for it. So that's I went fair. Back to sleep, and then, you know, I definitely made up for it for that week. Yeah, it was great. It was great fun. And, you know, the best part about it is sharing it with everyone else. And yeah, it was great.
I love that Pauline, the physio, is out on the night out. That's brilliant.
Oh, all of them were there. All the staff members. Yeah. Gaffer was in there as well. Gaffer, AD, everyone was in there. It was class.
I imagine Pauline might have had a few calls in the morning for some paracetamol from some as well.
Yeah, a few lads would have needed it. Yeah, we had a good drinking group back then though, so it wasn't too bad.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Obviously then we went to League One. A lot of people do talk about actually as like really important season that season. So we had to sort of consolidate a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
I know we sort of just kind of missed out on the playoffs, but it felt like quite an important season to stabilise a little bit. But still some brilliant highlights. I mean, the Sunderland 5-4 sticks out in my memory. I know you scored that day. Tell us a bit about that season, obviously that game in particular.
That season was a little bit different, because obviously I came from the season playing pretty much every game in League Two to then coming into League One season. I didn't start that season, but I was still coming off the bench and I was still playing in games, and I got to like after the January, February when I started playing more, and then obviously I went on. Oh, it all started with the Sunderland game where I scored. Actually, it was a Luton game before Luton away at Kenilworth Road. That was before, wasn't it? I played that game.
Yeah, yeah.
I came on because someone got injured early on.
So 1-1 draw, was it, that one?
Yeah, someone got injured. It was on Sky, wasn't it?
Someone
got injured early on, and I came on. Obviously, I scored that, and then it kind of built momentum for me towards the end of the season. And then, obviously, the Sunderland game was incredible. Incredible atmosphere, hostile, but it was good. And obviously, to win that game 5-4 was just amazing as well. And you know, the goal. You know, I still watch it on Netflix here and there, and. Had them crying about it, but yeah, you know, it was a great day out for us, and yeah, you know, them memories will live long.
When it came out on Netflix, did you skip to that episode? Or did
I did. I didn't want to watch the rest of it. I just wanted to see my goal and, you know, see them all moaning about it. But,
I think I don't think you're the only one who skipped to that episode.
No, everyone did.
Yeah, it was very good to see us on there. And let's move on a bit, obviously talk about the League One promotion season, obviously a lot of Cough fans' favourite season. You know, there's a lot of recruitment in that summer, brought a lot of quality into the side. A lot of players we spoke to said they were very impressed with players coming through the door. Did you get a sense that like we were signing some really good players and that we were on for a good season?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we signed some great players that season, and the formation change that we had as well was... it kind of worked so well with the players that we had, and you know, with the likes of the team that obviously the team we had with Marco in goal and Fanky, you had Rosie, Fads, Dom, Sam McCallum coming through. I mean, he was amazing as well. And then Kells, the rock of the midfield, with Walshy, the magician. I mean, he was incredible. Only player I think I've played with and trained with better than him is like Gus Hamer, but I mean he was phenomenal for us, Walshy. And then obviously then you had the rotation with me and Zane and Callum and Jamie, which worked really well. And then Goddard up top, and he was phenomenal that year as well. So yeah, that season was just, you know, we brought in some really good players, and it kind of felt from the day dot that we were going to go on and do something special that season.
Yeah. Yeah, like we talked through that team, it was class. And a lot, what's been talked about a lot is the team spirit as well of that team. I mean, what was that like? What was the dressing room like that year?
It sounds weird, but that season, it was like we were going into games knowing and feeling like we were going to win. It was like a momentum. So we had our blips here and there with, you know, the Rotherham game where we got, you know, battered really. And then, you know, the Tranmere at Birmingham at the time, it wasn't obviously at home, but that Tranmere game where we battered them, but we couldn't score, and then they scored, and it was like, but the team spirit that we had then. So we lost to Tranmere, but we still went out on a Sunday session because it was on a Sunday, wasn't it? We all still went out and had a good time. And you know, it was like everyone kind of knew, like it was just a blip and we go on to the next one. Do you know what I mean? And that season just, I think I can speak for everyone. I said it just felt like we were going to win something that season. And it was great.
Obviously, you touched on it there. We were playing in Birmingham. As someone who's been around the club for such a long time, was it? We were obviously having a good season, but was there a mixture of feelings? Obviously, playing away from the Rico must have felt a bit strange for you personally.
Yeah, obviously, you know, covered. I'd been through that before with playing at Sixfields over at Northampton. You know, I went over there a couple of times to watch a couple of games as well, and you know, it just didn't feel right. But at the same time, they were great with us. You know, all the stewards, all the staff that were there, they were all great. And you know, obviously it wasn't our home, but we made it as much as we could be. And I think our home form that season was pretty good as well. Like, so it was obviously different. But I mean, that pitch, the pitch at St Andrews that we played on was like a footballing pitch. It was flat, perfect grass. You know, we could pass it along, and that was what we wanted to play that season. And it kind of worked. It worked for us. Obviously the crowds, we didn't get a bigger crowd than what we would have at home, but at the same time the people that went over there, they made so much noise that you didn't feel like it was less fans there. And yeah, I mean, all credit down to them, and it was a great season.
Obviously, good season for you personally. I think you scored 7 goals that season. Did you have a favourite?
Was it Doncaster away?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, one. Into the corner. Yeah,
that one. Yeah, I definitely enjoyed that goal. But that celebration, the aeroplane celebration, was literally 10 minutes before kickoff. And it was like someone started talking about doing the aeroplane or something. And so we were like, right, if one of us scores, we'll all do the aeroplane. And thank you was like, yeah, if you score, I'll do it. And so you see him on the video when he starts really early across the whole pitch, basically. It was so funny. And then, yeah, it was kind of like an iconic thing from there on. But yeah, I mean, we had some good games that season. I mean, God, as Wycombe away was the turning point for the whole season, to be honest. Yeah. For us, our away form. God has scored the hat trick, you know, me doing the little flick, and that's probably the best assist I've ever done. I think if I try it again, I wouldn't be able to do it. But yeah, I mean, it was just a great season, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that Wycombe goal will definitely be long in the memory. That Doncaster one as well, that I think it's on the video when I think you're doing the aeroplane, there's some bloke in the crowd giving it absolute stacks. So good.
Yeah, I get that a lot, to be honest. My celebrations get a lot of verbal abuse from the fans, but yeah, it's all right. I don't mind it.
You got to do it, haven't you? You've got to enjoy the moment. Yeah. You got to enjoy the moment. Obviously, the season sort of grinded to a halt after Ipswich because of COVID. How frustrating was that for you as a player?
It was very frustrating. Obviously, we were still doing Zoom calls like we are now, and it was like we were doing push ups, sit ups, like this whole circuit thing of whilst we weren't off, and you know, it was weird. It was just weird. Everyone being in lockdown and not being at work and not kicking a ball around. It was different, obviously, but you know, it was kind of like we kind of felt like if we went back, it wouldn't have mattered. We would have carried on where we left off, kind of. And yeah, it was kind of, we were all waiting for the text being like, right, lads, we're in tomorrow or whatever, you know, let's get ready. But you know, it never came. And you know, we got given the title from it. We all wanted to go back and play and win it properly. But you know, we'll take the medal and the trophy.
Yeah, obviously the news came through. Obviously a really strange way to find out you've won the league. But yeah, was it a mixture of feelings sort of when you heard the news?
So we found out a few hours before, obviously, it came out, because we got told. But yeah, it was a bottle of champagne straight away popped in the garden, and you know, it was amazing. Obviously, none of us had haircuts either, so but we all met up for a few drinks and whatever at the training ground that night, and yeah, it was a great night, you know, to spend with the lads, and it was memories that you didn't think it'd be like that at the, you know, coming to it, but then, you know, right now it was a great night, and it was a great memory to have, to be honest.
And COVID obviously continued to hinder, I guess, football. And yeah, no different. We'd been promoted to the Championship, and then we had to start our season, and it was not going to have any fans there. It was behind closed doors. I think at the time, a lot of people were really gutted because we'd made it to the Championship. I think everyone was confident that we could stay there, but at the same time, you know, you've got fans that want to tick off their 92 grounds and all of that sort of stuff. It must have been a bit odd not having fans there behind you. I mean, I know AD makes up for quite a lot of people, but
yeah, you can hear him. You can hear him on the TV and that. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I mean, the not having the fans there was just a very weird feeling. It was like playing a 23s game at a stadium. It was, you know, it worked. It worked for some lads. You know, it kind of worked for me, to be honest. You know, you've had that little bit less pressure than, you know, what you would have. But yeah, it was very, very weird. You know, you could hear echoes and people shouting and, you know, not things that you normally wouldn't hear, to be honest. But yeah, it was a weird one, but it was good to experience.
And how did you find it personally adjusting to that level, you know, that step up again from League One to the Championship? And what did you sort of find were the most key differences?
It was difficult, obviously, because they, you know, the league above and they're better players and, you know, better quality. That's probably the main thing that was the difference, was the individual quality that some most teams had in players. Whereas in League One, League Two, it was kind of like a team game. You know, there wasn't really a standout player, but in the Championship, there is standout players and they will win games for you, you know, if you give them the chance. So that was kind of the main thing. A little bit different, you know, but at the same time, I think I had an all right season the first season in the champ. I think it was a bit of up and down, you know. I had some good games, some bad games, and I know I did, and you know, I scored a few goals, and yeah, the main target for all of us was just to stay in the Championship, to be honest, you know, and get fans back, and then see where we can go from there.
Yeah, I think it was a really, you know, it's not just a big step up, but there was a lot of factors with it, and it did feel like a difficult season at a time. But you know, we had Ostergaard, he came on the podcast and spoke about some of that time, and I think, you know, we felt it a lot, that the momentum and that belief that you had in the changing room sort of continued, I think, from the League One promotion, and that must have been a massive support. Did you think that's what was going to help you stay up, and did you have belief that you were going to stay up, or was there times when you thought it could be tight?
Yeah, I think the team spirit was a massive thing for us at the time, and it probably still is now for them, because obviously, well, there is, I definitely know it is, because obviously I speak to them daily. But yeah, they you know, they pride themselves on team spirit, togetherness, and that kind of, if things aren't going your way, you stick together, and you know, in the end of the day, something's going to go. And you know, and then, you know, once one person starts doing it, the other person, then it kind of, what's the word? It kind of,
I agree, it just continues, doesn't it? It builds
It start building momentum. And the big game for us that season was Rotherham away. Yeah. Ostergaard scored the header, and I was on the bench at the time, but I went mental. I jumped out the bench, ran down the touchline, fist pump. Yeah, it was amazing. That kind of sealed it for us to be in the champ for another year, and it was a massive, massive achievement for us.
Yeah, we obviously secured survival, which is really key. And then obviously onto the last season, it felt like a really special season. Obviously, a lot of factors involved. Really, being back at the CBS was one. Obviously, the fans being back as well for the first, you know, chance for the fans to see the team in the Championship. So did it feel like a sort of special season for you, and were you very excited to sort of get back to the CBS in front of the fans?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to get back to the CBS Arena for, you know, for the crowd, the fans' sake as well as ours. But yeah, they were massive, you know, a massive part for us that season as well, to finish, I think, finishing the top half that season. And it was, you know, gradually building steps for where they are now. And you can see that every year they've gone on to do better and better. And so the crowd obviously always play a massive part at home, you know, the way they are, especially away as well. I mean, away from home, a tremendous noise, atmosphere. You'd think we were the home team if we went away, and it was you know, it was a massive part to get back to the Rico. Well, sorry, the CBS. So I still call it the Rico now. I can't help it.
We all
it,
do.
But, yeah, yeah. We do as well.
but yeah, that was a really big part for the next step in, you know, Coventry's in the club as a whole.
Do you feel like the recruitment that summer was important as well? Because obviously, I feel like some of the players we signed that summer are now just such key players for us, right? You like the likes of Vic and Sheaf that we got on permanent deals. I feel like that summer was massive for us. And again, did it give you that sort of confidence that we were in for a good season, a bit like you did in the League One season?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we bought in obviously Vic now, and tremendous player, and you know, Sheafy probably the best midfield player, like keeping the ball, winning possession. I mean, he's everywhere, and obviously with his song as well, you know. but yeah, the signings that we made that season, it kind of, you know, pushed us on to then go on to do more. And yeah, it was a really good season. And, you know, we kind of established ourselves as a championship club then, where we finished.
I know you personally didn't play as many games as you had done in previous years. Were there any sort of frustrations for you personally around your game time?
I was always, if I'm not playing, I'm always frustrated. I could play 3 games in a row, say in a week, and then not play the next game, and I'd still be frustrated. But that's just who I am. I just want to play. Even if my legs say I can't, I'm still going to give it a go and, you know, try and do my best. So it's obviously, not playing's always frustrating. I think I played, I played 13 games, something like that. And, you know, I was missing out. I wasn't in the squad. I was sitting in the stands with my dad and my granddad, and it was like, it does get to you, it does get you down. But at the same time, you know, my mates are still playing, and so I'm still cheering them on. You know, I'm still training hard. I still, you know, push them to be better as well as myself. And that's kind of where I was at that season. But yeah, I mean, to answer the question, yeah, I was very frustrated. But at the same time, I wanted my teammates to do well and the team to do well. So it was tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. And we've got to talk about that goal against QPR. that was some strike, that was. I mean, talk us through that one.
Yeah, I mean, that goal was like, we talked about it after, I think I said this before, but we talked about it at half time that they didn't leave anyone on the edge of the box. And it was kind of like a set up quick 5 minutes. We were like, yeah, right, take the corner. Ships basically walked to the edge of the box and just get a free strike. And Toddy passed it in, put a few bubbles on it. And I was thinking, it was coming to us thinking, oh no, this could go anywhere. But when I hit it, yeah, I just knew it was going in. And I had a lot of emotion come out, obviously, when I scored that goal, because of the frustration that I had that season. But yeah, I mean, it was a great goal. And it was a great feeling as well to, you know, get that chance again.
Do you practice stuff like that in training?
Or was it
a bit spontaneous?
No, yeah. We used to do corners all the time. But we normally just put it in the box, really, and just, you know, see if anyone get ahead on it or land to someone else. But we never really did like a short, quick corner, you know, shoot or whatever. But that was kind of just like a in the moment thing to do. And you know, luckily it fell right to me, and I, you know, went in the back of that.
I suppose a bit like you said about the free kick at Luton, you know, that sometimes those moments where they're spontaneous, you don't overthink it, they come off better, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's interesting. Obviously, last season was an interesting one. You know, we are sort of the opposite to this year, really. We started really well, and then obviously tailed off a little bit. Was there anything in particular that you could sort of pinpoint that sort of caused that kind of, you know, not as good an end to the season?
There's nothing specific that I could pinpoint and say, like, this is why or this is how. It's kind of just the way that the season just kind of ended. It was a weird one. It was difficult, but I mean, there's nothing that I could actually pinpoint out and say, like, this went wrong or we didn't do this or we didn't do that. It was just kind of the games just kind of took their course, really. And we didn't really get the wins and the points that we thought we could have got. But yeah, it was a difficult end to the season, but at the same time, you know, we still achieved something good that season, you know, staying in the champ. And then, it was kind of just one of those, really.
You've talked about wanting to play every single minute that you possibly can, and you know, you completely agree. A lot of players say, you know, it's not a, a long career as a footballer, and you want to achieve and play as much as you can. And that, you know, sort of came to an end, I guess, with Coventry City in 2022. Really sad moment for the fans, I think, because they'd just seen you grown from a boy to a man, and with all of the input that you'd put in at the club from every single big momentous occasion, I think every big occasion you were sort of a permanent fixture there. What was the conversation that you had at the time with the staff and the gaffer around that, and you know, how did that lead you to then moving on and looking at options elsewhere?
I mean, it started at the probably November, December time that season, when I wasn't playing really any games. I was playing 23 games, and it was like it was a bit like I'm kind of at a standstill, really. I wasn't really doing much, and I felt like I wasn't, you know, being used like, at all. So it was at that point where I turned to like one of the members of staff, you know, for advice. And you know, it was like they just told me, you know, keep your head down, keep working hard, you get your opportunity. And you know, it did come. You know, with Peterborough away, I played on left wing back, and that, you know, they gave me an opportunity to play a few games that season, and you know, give it a go. But yeah, it was just a very emotional season, and then obviously tailing off towards the end, it was like I just wanted to play football. Yeah. And as much as it hurt to not be a Coventry player anymore and not be with all the lads and, you know, the staff and that, it was kind of something that I needed to do.
Yeah.
You know, and so obviously I knew before the Stoke game that I was gone. And I'd signed for Shrewsbury. And so yeah, it was the send off was amazing. I mean, you know, fans were singing my song for about 10 minutes straight, and you know, I was crying like a baby, and it was an emotional day. And I was crying when I got subbed off. And that was how emotionally drained I was from everything going on. And you know, I can't thank the staff and the fans enough for what they did for me that day, and you know, for years before that. It was truly amazing to have my song sung like that as well.
Yeah, that song has been we heard it the other night, right, in the terraces. But it's you know, it's great. How does it feel to have that, you know, after you know, because some players can go seasons and years without getting that. It shows what I guess the bond that Sky Blue Army had with yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I had the He's One of Our Own, but Notts County away. That's when it started, really, and that was incredible. The noise that night, and you know, the feeling of, you know, at that night, it was like, what, we had like 2,500-3,000 fans or maybe more, and all singing my name and that song. And it was like, wow, like surreal moment. And then obviously that other song came out that season. You know, it was a great tune. I had it humming pretty much all season. And then the Stoke away, it was incredible. And you know, fans are so good with making up songs like that. And you know, you don't really think, how have they done that? How have they managed to? But there's someone sat there, you know, twiddling their thumbs to get, you know, what the right lyrics to the song. And yeah, I mean, it's even some of the songs now, I mean, they're incredible. I was singing them all night on Wednesday night. And yeah, it's just great how they can put words together and, you know, make a song. And yeah, I'm thankful for that song. And yeah, it's great.
There's a couple of questions that we're going to finish off with, and they're more the ones that actually our fans can also think about as they're listening to this and think about what their favourites are. So they're not going to ever time, unfortunately, get close to replicating what you've done in a Coventry City shirt. And it was absolutely amazing. So, but they can join in with a few of these. Kicking off with your favourite Coventry kit. I would say one in your time at the club, and then because of being a supporter, your favourite kit.
So my one for playing would be, we only wore it once, and it'd be the playoff final. I really like that kit, with obviously you had the badge and the little writing in the middle, and that kit, for being a one-off special, was it was incredible to wear. I've got it framed in downstairs. with all the medals and stuff. And yeah, I think that kit was just really nice to wear.
Nice.
And then growing up, I did like the green and black away kit. But I also am a big fan of the brown one from way back, to be honest. But yeah, I'm really a big fan of that.
Yeah, even before me, that one. So that's good.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can get one of them, to be honest. But yeah, we're still on the search for it.
Nice. And if you had to pick a five-a-side team from all of your players that you've played with at your time at Coventry, who would feature in that? Including yourself, obviously.
So five-a-side with myself, so four, and then one keeper.
You can go for a keeper, yeah. We should have one in there. Could get beat otherwise.
Yeah. My keeper would be Marco. Marco in goal. And then I'd have one at the back. One at the back would have to be Fads. So now this is tough because then I've only got...
I'd say they're not listening, but we hope they are.
Yeah. Go with... If I'm going with players that are my favourite that I played with, who had a big impact on my game as well as the teams, I'd go Zane Westbrook, me, and then Matty Godden.
Nice. Lovely. I think that would win a couple of games.
Basically a League One team.
And to flip that, who's the best player that you've ever played against?
Best player that I've ever played against? Oh, we've had a few, haven't we? I'll probably say that. You know that the Brighton game in the FA Cup when we lost, was it 3-1? I'd probably say what's his name? March. Solly March. I mean, he was incredible that day, and yeah, I'd probably say him. He caused us all sorts of problems, and yeah, I think I said his name in our program this season as well. So yeah, I'd probably say Solly March.
Real,
thanks. Not bad players.
And just to finish things off, Shippers, do you have any sort of words or a message for the Sky Blue Army?
Yeah, I mean, I had a great time at Coventry, you know, coming through and getting my chance in the first team and playing in front of all you fans, and it's been an incredible journey. I'm so thankful still to this day of how they've taken me in, and hopefully, you know, I'll see you all at Wembley, and we can get back to the promised land.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Well, yeah, Shivers, I just want to say as well, you know, massive thank you on behalf of all of our listeners and on behalf of the Sky Blue Army as well. Firstly, you've given up some of your time to come on. You know, we really appreciate it. But also mainly for all of your passionate performances wearing the Sky Blue shirt and for all the brilliant memories that you've created. So thanks a lot for that.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
And listeners, do make sure you're following our partners, Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery, across their social channels. And as always, if you want to get involved in the conversation, all you need to do is use the hashtag SBE Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.